Getting your day started.
Go ahead.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Allison Mastrangelo from Channel 2. Squid Billy from the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
And 92.9 The Game.
You like that?
I'm both. I'm the executive producer Falcons Radio Network. Yeah, you're the Mike Johnson.
The but only one has pre-game. The All-American.
Pre-half. Yes, right. Pre-half and
I don't
post.
Do that.
Okay, well, pre and post game.
I don't know if you ever listen to a game broadcast. I don't do half.
Oh, no. You know, I wouldn't know what that's like. Yeah. Please tell me more.
Yeah, I will. Once you put the show sheet together, I'll let you know. I don't include myself in that. That's all Chris Goforth. And honestly, had a lot of fun with Chris on Friday, man. Worked a little bit late night. The schedule is different for the Atlanta Falcons, and we'll get to the Kyle Pitts interview in just a second. But it was me and Chris were kind of joking. You do pre, and he does half, and we both do post. But last year, and Allison, you know this just as well as anybody, every Falcons game was Sunday at 1 o'clock. And there was a London game at 10 a.m., and there was a West Coast game at 4 p.m. But other than that, they were all Sunday at 1 o'clock.
We had one 4 o'clock game.
That's what I said. Yeah, we got a West Coast.
And guess what? Guess what? I'm pumped, Allison, because, see, I would come, like, when we came home from London, I came straight here and slept in my office for, like,
sleeping bag.
In a sleeping bag on the floor for, like, 2 hours.
You were on your desk when I got here.
And, yeah, that was the trip before I had the sleeping bag.
What?
Yeah, and then, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm dedicated.
He's married to the game.
Did he say under the desk or on the desk?
On it.
On.
And it was not comfortable.
Yeah, and right now in her head, she's going, how do you fit on the desk?
Because I'm 5'8", 155 pounds.
I wasn't going to say it, but I can see her wheel spinning.
5'8½",
I could see her wheel spinning. Now, it is an L-shaped desk, and he did have it. Yeah, I had the legs planked. But that's, you know.
But the funny part is you know, he would come in, I wouldn't say fresh, but refresh, because he'd been able to. No, you were fresh. You got normal sleep on those nights.
Yeah,
not me.
Days. Those were good
days. And you know, now I'll give him credit. He felt for me. He was a good teammate. But
look, I let that man get an extra 15 before I knocked on his door and woke him up. You know, I'm like, man,
nice.
I'm gonna give that man some space.
All that said, he texted me that day. What's your plan for September 17th? And I was like, am I supposed to have a plan for that day? I don't know what day is
the
that.
Plan, like, are you gonna be back in time? That's the question. You're gonna get straight off the plane and go straight on the air.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So he was talking about the Monday night game, Allison, which we have now.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It's the first time we've had one since I've been here in 5 years.
No way.
No.
I feel like it is.
No way.
I feel like it is.
You know what?
Maybe there's one. Maybe there's – no, I think there's been Thursday, Sunday.
You know what? She might be right. The last Monday night game we might have had might have been 2019 against the Giants. I think that was – I think the last Monday night game we had was 2019 at home against the Giants.
That
I think you're right.
Unbelievable.
We got to double check that.
Right.
Dylan, get day to do that.
All right, man. Speaking of good night sleeps and playing a little bit of football, yesterday, Bo and I caught up with Kyle Pitts. First question, you get more sleep in training camp or at home with that baby?
At training camp. I take as much naps and free time I use that is to get it in and while I can. So before
Packers?
I go home and got to run around with him.
Packers, it, right?
So it's obviously, like I said, your first training camp with the kid at the house. Do you find your energy being different? Man, you're still a young guy. You're still a young dad. But you're obviously in year four, man. But things have definitely changed for you.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. I have a newfound motivation that's always just, you know, attached to me, you know, for the rest of my life. So it's a pretty good thing to have in the back of my mind and just a way to, you know, keep him in my mind and at the forefront. And, you know, that's my reason.
I saw your video when you found out you were having a boy, man. It's awesome stuff. My first one was a boy. My second one was a girl. How's it been so far being a boy dad? And I know he's still a small one, but you got a football in his hands yet or not?
No, not yet. I'll let him pick up whatever he wants to. But he's fun. He's running around now. He's talking and hitting on things. So it's pretty fun.
All right, Kyle, you kind of got back to a regular offseason last year. You're kind of rehabbing. What were you able to work on in your craft this offseason when you could actually really focus on the football side of things?
Just get in and out of my routes like I used to be, like I used to be able to do. And just being just as most explosive as I can, getting stronger, faster, and, you know, mentally stronger as well.
Now, when this new coaching staff guy here, Zach Robinson, he's bringing a new scheme, was that did they sit you down and talk to you about your role in this offense going forward? Because it obviously looks like it might change a little bit.
I mean, yeah, they definitely sat me down and, you know, we had the conversation with, you know, Coach Koger, Z Rob, and Raheem as well, and just telling me, you know, what they need from me and what I can bring to the team. And, you know, I'm just trying to implement that every day.
Now, when you heard the news that Kirk Cousins was coming to town, What was your first thought? How happy was that for you?
It was amazing. He's a veteran, and I love playing with veterans. And, you know, from Matt, he was my rookie year. He showed me a lot, and I seen, you know, what he brings to the table and, you know, how he can help you be a better player.
All right, man, so you talk about getting in and out of your routes. I mean, look, there's still some 21 personnel being thrown around out there, hand in the dirt a little bit. I've seen you going up against a lot of these veteran outside linebackers. Talk to me about that group, man, and just how good they've been. A lot of people talking about James Smith-Williams and, you know, Lorenzo Carter. You've been squaring up with them, man. How's that group been?
I mean, they're great guys, great competitors. It's always great going against them. They get me better each day, and I hope I do the same thing likewise and, you know, just help me get back right.
Now, I think a lot of people, Kyle, point towards this season. I think a big category for me, at least, watching the team, the yak numbers, right? Being able to catch the ball in stride, get up the field. Obviously, a huge thing for you coming out of Florida. It's a big reason why you're in Atlanta. Talk to me about how nice it's going to be the first time you catch that ball in stride and show off that 4.4 speed and break off about a 70 or 80 yarder, because we're going to love it, man. We're
definitely. It's going to be amazing just putting in the reps now in camp, getting my body, you know, used to that, and so that, you know, when we come September 8th, they'll be ready.
Like, you talked about working with a veteran, like when you had Matt here and now you got Kirk again. You know, there's been a lot made of y'all's relationship. Seems like he's talked about kind of pushing you a little bit. How is that important? Has that been for you as training camp's been going underway?
I mean, it's very good. You know, he's seen a lot of ball. He's seen a lot of great players, great tight ends, receivers as well. So, you know, if he sees something and sees the potential, it's just up to me to be there, you know, when the ball's ready so that, you know, I can excel in this offense.
We get a little bit away from football. Your golf game. I've heard guys have played with you in the Cherries. I heard you're an avid golfer. How's the golf game looking this fall? Did you miss any golf because of the new kid?
A little bit, but, you know, definitely haven't played in a long time. But when I was shooting pretty low towards the end of the summer.
Did your the injury that you had to overcome with the ACL, did that affect your golf game a lot?
Would it be in my right leg? Not as much as you thought it would have been if it was my left. But it didn't really affect it that much.
All right, and real quick, I got back to football. I've been asking everyone, and we've had some real animated answers. I think Drake's was still probably the best about the Guardian cap, because you can wear it in a game. Would you ever wear the Guardian cap in a game?
No. Firm no.
I think you're the third person who's giving us a one-word answer to that. All right, finishing up with Kyle Pitts right here. Last thing, Kyle. We've been asking everybody, other than clothes, man, packing for training camp. We've gotten Jake Matthews said foam roller. Drake London said box fan. I think Arnold Abakady was a PS5. What do you got to throw in the bag when you're coming? Look, you got to stay at training camp for, you know, 3 weeks. You're staying away from family. What do you got to put in the bag other than clothes?
I wouldn't say in the bag, but in the room I have my hyperbaric, so that's a pretty key component in my recovery. So sleeping in that for a couple hours a night and then hopping out and just, you know, staying hydrated.
All right, man, that's Kyle Pitts, tight end one, baby.
Yeah, my hyperbaric chamber is a big part of my recovery as well. You know what I mean? After I get out there and get on my grind. Although I did have teammates that had those. It was kind of a big deal. Also, I remember, who was it? I had a teammate that did like the zero gravity salt floating thing like that. Was that Coy Wire?
Oh, I've tried that.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, I've done that.
So that always looked pretty cool. But nonetheless, man, Kyle Pitts was a lot of fun yesterday. Appreciate him visiting with us and kind of chopping it up. He's very matter-of-fact with his answers, and he looks like he's all about his business this year. I don't know if you kind of picked up on that, Bo, but he had that eye of the tiger. Like, he's like, man, I'm all about my business right now. You know what I mean?
It's kind of cool because this is the first time that I remember him feeling like he's like a grizzled veteran. You know, he's only like 23 years old. Like, I think we forget how crazy young Kyle Pitts is and was, and he kind of seems like he has matured a lot, and it wasn't like he was an overly immature person, Allison. I mean, you've dealt with him as much as I have ever since he's been here, but it just feels like there's a different feel around him this year for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of them is he's feeling like fully healthy, I think, in a long time. I think he's feeling more confident as well. That always helps too. But I think you guys, even though we know he's not the longest talker, I think he's longer than Brock Bowers, but he doesn't say a lot. But, you know, I think we're seeing a little bit more from him just in interviews, personality wise. When I was talking with the tight ends coach, Kevin Coker, someone asked him about Kyle Pitts, and he was just like, you can hear him coming before he gets in the meetings. He's like blasting music. And he's like, he always has music and songs going. So I just think, like, we're starting to see and learn. And maybe it's because he's a dad, too. Like, maybe that's a different perspective of him as a player. I don't know if you get the dad powers.
I will say, and here's what I think is a little bit of the difference. If I had gone through last season the way he did, and we signed Kirk Cousins, and I was a tight end, and I was really hoping to go off in a, you know, year four setting, I'd be bebopping around that place.
Well, look
too.
What he did with Matt Ryan, you know, when he had a quarterback, right?
I would be bouncing around yards, that facility as well. I'd be like, let's go.
Right.
I think, too, that's when you're a guy like kind of like Kyle, who is a talented player, and it doesn't matter what field you're in. You're talented at your job, but you had some down years or some lean years or struggled, injury, whatever it might be. I think you get a guy like a Kirk Cousins who comes in and just kind of exudes the confidence, and you can feed off that. And people, if you get the right people around you in these kind of conditions, it can unlock you, not only your talent, but your confidence can come back. And I think being healthy along with having a Kirk Cousins and knowing what it can mean for him and knowing what he had with Matt, maybe it unlocked Kyle a little bit, that confidence. Not to mention, Kirk is definitely, I don't want to say use the word mentor, because you're like, how can a quarterback mentor a tight end up being a tight end? But I think there is some mentorship there as far as being a professional and maybe reclaiming his glory days.
I think any athlete that goes through an injury comes back a little bit different, right? Whether they're like they have something to prove or you've just been through adversity, I think it makes you stronger, makes you maybe appreciate the game a little bit more too.
Yeah.
So I think all of that, and like you said, when you have a Kirk Cousins coming in, I think it gives you confidence. Like, all right, now I have a quarterback who knows what he's doing. He's going to get me the ball more, that kind of things, you know? So yeah, I think all of that plays into it.
I also wonder too, and because I had teammates that went through this. I did not have kids when I played, but I had teammates that would kind of go through that process of getting married, having kids, starting a family. And you have to imagine, and you guys know this as well as anybody, your life kind of calms down in a lot of ways, even though it gets crazy. It gets crazy.
I mean,
in
I wouldn't know,
ways.
But
right. Well, but you know what I mean.
As a dog mom, yes, I do know.
you like have all this other stuff going on, and like, I mean, Kyle Pitts is not going wake surfing.
No, right? Right after.
So, you know, life becomes a little more regimented and it calms down a little bit and you get focused a little more on your craft.
My babies will be wake surfing at a young age.
I also don't know, but I do know that I could go wake surfing right after work if I wanted.
You got a great wife. A great wife.
I do.
Yeah. He does.
Yeah.
I'm
pretty lucky.
You must have a great one too.
Yeah. She's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I love you.
No.
How do you say? You better back that out real quick.
I don't know if anybody heard Allison, but it was the Packers.
I know.
Yeah.
I know you're all wondering. I know you're all wondering. So
live microphone during the Kyle Pitts interview.
Rookie.
Oh, it was the Packers.
Rookie.
That Giants game that I was talking about, I'm pretty sure was 18. They played the Eagles in 19 on Monday Night Football. Okay. That was the Holyoke.
Before I was here.
Yeah, somebody, Uncle Steve on Twitter texted me and was like, hey, when was that taking it to the house? Jake Matthews with the he comes out and out wide and hits the block that Julio frees him. Then I know, which was music to your ears. Then the Packers game, as Allison told all of us during the Kyle Pitts interview.
I didn't want them waiting so long during that interview. I wanted to tell them.
Yeah, you just couldn't contain it, could
no,
you?
No,
I mean, I get it. Look, trust me. You know, though,
it doesn't count. It was a pandemic, so it doesn't really count. Monday night, though,
and it was in Green Bay, so it really doesn't count. But I'll say this though: that the more and more I think about Kyle Pitts last year, the more and more it reminds me of what Ronald Acuna was in 22. And how he just wasn't, he was a shell of himself. You could see Kyle run routes last year, looked like a shell of himself. You could see when contact was coming, he almost seemed to shy away from it. Yep. And I just don't think that's going to be the case this year.
Yeah. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. You know, you just said we'd take it to the house a minute ago, and I was telling Dylan, I was like, well, you got the Slip and Slide Express. I was like, damn. Yeah, we don't play. Anyways, we gotta go to break, man. We'll talk about the Braves on the other side. And also the latest in the NFL when we go in the huddle. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift Sports Radio 910. Let Money Mar get off your derriere. We off the chain for the whole year. So if you look good with a big old butt, live in your own crib and make your own bucks. Hit me up, TreyPlus.com, and tell me where you from. Smoke
out, choke out. What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in-wash scent beads.
It's more than just sports talk. This is The Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Loss of the season yesterday, the Braves get one of the grittiest wins of 2024. A 1-0, 10-inning victory.
Woo, that man Chris Sale's a bad dude now. That's a bad dude. It's Morning Shift Sports Radio. 92.9 A Game This Hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. And I, like when I hear Brendan Gaughan say after, you know, the most disappointing loss of the season yesterday, I think he's probably right just because of how it happened. I don't know if it was the worst loss of the season, but definitely probably the most disappointing. But nonetheless, the Braves get it put together out in San Francisco in an absolute throwdown pitcher's duel that Bo said was just – he was on the edge of his seat. It was a thriller yesterday.
I don't know how you guys don't enjoy those games. Like, I can enjoy a 1-0 baseball game where there's 23 combined strikeouts from the starters, 33 total. In the game, and just like I can enjoy, you know, a 9-8 game where your bullpen blows it and an 8-2 lead in the bottom of the eighth inning. I think both can be enjoyable.
Let me phrase it this way: I can enjoy it without thinking it's entertaining. Does that happen? Is that possible?
But I can respect it. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I think that's actually way better way of putting it. I respected it.
Okay. Let me ask you this: why is it more entertaining to watch hitters do their thing, but not pitchers do theirs?
I like action on the base paths. I like the thrill of, you know, having a guy go first, third, trying to leg it out, trying to do all those things.
But the drama of a game where two starting pitchers are locked in like that is the fact that one mistake anywhere in that game by either that guy or an outfielder or an infielder, you know, an umpire, anything can make that game. I mean, one of the greatest World Series games of all time was 1991's Game 7 between the Twins and the Braves, where Jack Morris pitched 10 innings, complete game win, and John Smoltz went like 9 innings.
And I was like, and a month later, I was born.
I was just going to say, I was like, I'm not going to tell you how old I was.
Bo was 13.
I was 8.
Yeah.
It's funny.
No, and I agree with you, man. Look, man, the bottom line is the Braves get it done yesterday, even if it was an extra innings. I thought, to your point earlier about Raisel Iglesias going 2 innings, getting 4 Ks, absolute masterclass for him after ups and downs the last couple of days as far as the bullpen goes. He's able to step in and get it done. He remains just a consistent factor. A.J. Minter having the injury issues. This has been a staff top to bottom that has been very, very good, bullpen included, all year. And then recently, obviously you have the injuries in the starting rotation, and then all of a sudden, you know, the bullpen starts to fall apart yesterday, and the Minter news comes out, and it's just like, what is next? But look, Allison said it to us yesterday, man. Get to me in a month. And I'll let you know how they're doing. I'm worried that a month from now that, you know, if they don't play like they did yesterday, that they're not even in contention a month from now. But that's just me. That's how I approach my Braves fandom. Bo is the opposite. He's bright side Bo when it comes to the Braves. So it is what it is, man. But a big win last night. So I'm happy
for you. You're going to have Ozzy, cool. Michael Harris back. Max Scherzer will be in the group. So yeah. I'm feeling so good about my September.
Yeah. Win this series. Win the series this weekend, right? This is a four-game series, so you need to win three games.
It's the Angels,
series.
Right? Let's hope.
Yeah, it's the Angels. So you would like to think you can take 2 or 3 from the Angels.
Yep.
And then come home, and you have that series with Philadelphia, which is looming. It's a 7-game lead. They have struggled mightily.
That's going to be a fun series.
If you can win 5 of your next 7.
That's going to have playoff vibes, I feel like.
It is. And that's my point with that game last night is...
That was not playoff vibes.
It might not have been because of who you were playing, but the way those pitchers went at it, the way those pitchers played.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And you had to have that win last night. A playoff team wins a game like last night with a rebound after what happened on Sunday. So hopefully that is what we're getting from now on.
I know it's old, but I love the extra innings rule when they start the guy on second, too. I think that's great.
I actually
I love it. No. You don't have 16.
Here's the only change I'd make. In the 10th inning, I'd put a runner on first. In the 11th, I'd put a runner on second.
Ooh.
And in the 12th, I'd put a runner on third.
Okay, I like that. That's my only. I like that. I like that.
A little slight buildup. It's like, all right, let's get this thing knocked out. But you put a runner on second, you basically have to score in the
third. I like that.
Or I would just play baseball like you did the other 9 innings.
Well, then you end up with 21 inning games.
Yeah,
like
that's what I mean.
The past,
and then the guys are exhausted. Then that's injuries. Like, it's just not.
Look,
yeah,
I would
hate for guys to be exhausted. You know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be the fanboy. Well, I hate to see guys make millions of dollars being exhausted.
They're human beings, okay?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of guys that are exhausted. They're human beings and women and men that work hard for less money.
All right, let's go in the hole.
Now you made me sound like
it's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the morning shift.
Well, speaking of guys working hard for less money, Hassan Reddick.
He's not working for anything right now. He's losing money.
I can't cover that one up, man. Speaking of guys working hard for less money, Hassan Reddick still hasn't showed up at training camp. The Pro Bowl edge rusher that was traded to the New York Jets is looking for a contract extension. He is set to make $14.25 million in base pay this year. That's the last year of a three-year, $45 million contract. We talked about it earlier, guys. Hassan Reddick not showing up doesn't bode well for anybody. The Jets have come out and made a statement saying, we're not negotiating with anybody not here. And look, man, it is what it is. He needs to show up to camp and get busy, and then we'll talk about it later. Hassan Reddick said, nah, I'm good, man. I don't even know y'all. I'm not showing up anywhere. I don't like New York. I don't want to be a part of this. No, he didn't say that for real, but he's not showing up right now, and he's reportedly asking for a trade. Bo, you were saying earlier why he's not coming to Atlanta.
Well, first and foremost, if they had wanted Hassan Reddick here, they could have made the deal with Philadelphia themselves, and they could have signed him, and they could have expedited this whole thing. They didn't, and now he's he's asked for his second release in 6 months. That's a red flag. The Jets said that they were their understanding he would play under this contract, and then after the season they could talk about it. I understand why Hassan Reddick doesn't want to play under the contract. He's got 50 and a half sacks in the last four seasons. Pretty good.
That's okay.
But
it's all right.
We'd probably take that here.
His first three seasons, not so good. But he's really been great since 2020. But the problem is now what is he in the locker room? And is he a malcontent? And are you going to go and extend a guy and pay a guy a ton of money who basically just got traded somewhere and never showed up one day to anything other than the press conference?
Here's my thought, maybe, why the Falcons didn't go after him, maybe. It was because they thought they were going to draft pass rush in the first round, but then, quote-unquote, Michael Penix was available.
Things happen.
And then everything kind of went a different direction. So maybe, but I hear you. I don't know. I have no idea. It's all about money.
I will say, as somebody who doesn't have really a vested interest in this entire Hassan Reddick saga, part of me wants the Jets to call his bluff.
Oh.
You know, part of me is like,
They did.
You can drag this thing out all you want to, buddy. Like, we're good.
About money, or is it because it's the Jets? And he's like, we're not going to make it until I'm out.
I don't know. Well, that's a good question.
Their understanding was when they traded for him, their understanding was he would play this year and then they would revisit this. That's why Joe Douglas came out yesterday and was like, sorry, but it ain't happening. You're not getting traded. You'll continue to get fined until you decide you've been fined enough and you want to show up and play for the $14.25 million that you're...
I would cry if I was fined $20 a day for not going to work, let alone...
Can you imagine?
I mean, I don't... Nah, no. Uh-uh. No.
I'd be here bright and early, boy.
Yeah, exactly. You find me every minute, I'm late. Hey, I'm showing up.
Hey, that's diaper money, man. Come on. Oh, man, but I also would cry if I was making $15 million a year, which is, you know, what he could if he just showed up to work. So it'd be all good. Real quick, Lions running back Jahmyr Gibbs, Dalton graduate, former Georgia Tech running back, former Alabama running back. He had a hamstring injury, and it is being reported by NFL ESPN insider Scott Erickson that, they're fearing it's got something to do with his ACL. They're not calling it a tear just yet, but a hamstring issue which correlates with ACL tears, and they're worried about that. Jahmyr Gibbs, though, great year last year as a rookie. They're really looking forward to him being a part of that team. Terrion Arnold also leaves practice yesterday with an upper body injury, quote unquote. So it's a rough start to Lions training camp, or I guess midway through.
Yes, I go for Dan Campbell and company who are trying to, you know, repeat as champions of the division and so on and get themselves out of the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl. That's rough. I hate it too for kind of a hometown guy, you know, in Jahmyr Gibbs, and he's a hell of a player and, you know, played here at Tech. And I just don't like. It's not fun, and it's not fun for anybody to see anybody get hurt.
No.
But especially of players that could be special in the field like Gibbs can be.
Yeah, he definitely can. And it does stink, man. A lot of people thought they reached, and then he balls out last year, and they're like, nope, see? Told you so. He's really good. We knew it. Nonetheless, man, speaking of guys with speed, we come back on the other side. We got to talk about this Tyreek Hill mess and him calling out the Olympic sprinting champion Noah Lyles. And also, it's Top 5 Tuesday. A little bit different flavor to Top 5 because the AP poll came out yesterday. I'll tell you who belongs and who doesn't in that top 10 from the college football AP poll. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
What are the haps? Start the day the right way with the Morning Shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Allison M. You butchered your Twitter handle to me yesterday.
I
tagged the wrong thing, and I put out the tweet, and she goes, wait, that's not it. Allison Mastrangelo from Channel 2, Squid Billy from 92.9 in the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, and just Mikey P over here hanging out, man, chopping it up,
yeah,
having a good old
American,
time.
Yeah, All-American, national champion, having former Atlanta Falcon, Falcons Radio Network.
All right. Simple as simple does. Just a simpleton over here, man, just running point. No big deal, just dishing it out. Look,
yeah,
we're going to get to
coffee,
top five. Yeah, I do have coffee today. We're going to get top five Tuesday in just a second. I'm mic'd up. We're going to talk about not only the top five, but the top 10, the top 25 of college football. The AP polls come out. I got a couple teams that I'm really concerned that are part of the top 25. I'm not sure they belong, so we'll kind of chop that up here in just a minute. But right now, guys, one of the things we've talked about the last couple of weeks, and Allison, I'll just kind of bring you into the fold on this because last week we had a couple of questions with a number of our co-hosts, and it's like, which sport could you look like you belong in the Olympics? Like, not win gold, but which one could you just kind of vibe out in the back? Because we've all seen the breakdancer from Australia, and she just kind of slides in there. She gets straight zeros, but even she, as somebody who actually, like, was an Olympian, did not look like she belonged. And so it was like, which one? We came up with archery. You know, shooting, you know, the targets or whatever you want to call it. But we didn't really ever come up with anything. I was like, you know, I'd try to vibe in with the shot putters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something like that.
I vibe in with the surfers, but I wouldn't surf that wave.
Well, you know, and they were in Tahiti on
a
boat.
Yes. But I'd vibe in. Like, they'd think I could go out there, and then I'm just going to sit.
Give them the old signal.
It's not big enough. This wave's not big enough.
Give them the old thumb and pinky. You know, hey, guys, what's up? Hey, yeah. Hey, you got any room on that
board? I'm going to shred the gnar with you guys later.
Hey,
okay?
Anybody got any wax? Okay. Anyway, so all that to be said, Tyreek Hill yesterday. Well, he had some thoughts on where he might fit in the Olympics and whether or not he could beat a certain 100-meter champion.
Noah Lyles can't say nothing after what just happened to him. Then he want to come out and pretend like he's sick. I feel like that's horseradish. So for him to do that and say that we're not world champions of our sport, like, come on, bro. Like, just speak on what you know about, and that's track.
Would you like to race him when he gets home?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
You think so?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
By a lot?
No, I wouldn't beat him by a lot, but I would beat Noah Lyles.
I'd like to see that happen.
And guess what? When I beat him, I'm going to put on a COVID mask and let him know I mean business.
Just
actually,
a couple things. First of all, I love that he's like, man, we world champions. But the second thing is, like, you're literally like, oh, the Olympic 100-meter champion. You're like, God, smoke that dude. God, smoke that fool. What's
he
talking
about? That's a different breed.
Hold on a second. First off, the first part of his this soundbite was phenomenal. He just, you know,
horseradish.
But here's the deal. You talk trash about, essentially, Noah Lyles talked trash about every athlete in this country that plays professional sports, that is not an Olympian, right? Oh, they couldn't call themselves world champions, which irritated them all. Then you go up to the Olympics and you talk trash. The 200 is my event.
You got COVID.
You'll know when I turn the corner.
That's horseradish.
I don't know. Tyreek Hill, you know what?
That's horseradish.
Tyreek Hill's got insider info. He don't believe it. I'm with Tyreek.
Oh.
Now,
it's the only time Bo's ever sided with Tyreek Hill.
A new conspiracy theory for the Falcons right here.
That's right.
That's it.
Now, the back half of it, I don't know if he – I'm not going to say Tyreek Hill would beat any Olympian at sprinter, but the fact that he doubled down on it was funny. But, I mean, I think Tyreek knows something. You know, he thinks that Noah Lyles is making excuses, and I mean, we need to see a test.
Maybe Tyreek will be in the Olympics. 2028, flag football.
Hey,
that would actually
that's a good
kind
point.
Of awesome.
Can it replace breakdancing?
Let me ask you.
It
this.
Is. It's not coming back.
Quick answers from both of y'all. If it were on turf in football cleats, would Tyreek be able to at least pull even? If we're on turf in football cleats, would it make it a little bit
helmet pads?
Yeah.
Helmet like full football
gear? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think football I think speed and football speed are two different things. And I would not dislike Tyreek Hill's chances
like
there.
No chance. No. No allows got this
nah,
thing.
Yeah.
No starting block. No starting blocks. No track.
Different.
Andy
I think
has
it's
to
different.
Catch a football in stride.
All right.
And elude a defender.
Speaking of football and being real speed, we gotta hit this top five.
It's time for Mic'd Up with Mike Johnson. Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
That's right, Bo. Big Lexus, little Lexus, medium-sized Lexus. You know, Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event. Here
they
on
do
the
have
top
big
five.
Lexuses, like the SUV and
you
stuff.
Like that? Hey, man, maybe third row back there. We put you back there like we did in Daytona. Nonetheless, man, we got to talk about this Top 5 Tuesday. And like I said, it's a little bit different of a Top 5 Tuesday, but we got to dive into this AP poll that came out yesterday. College football season is upon us. Allison, I'm assuming you're just a dog by nature. Is it you're just an adopted dog? You just
I'm
like
not a fan of the teams I cover.
Okay, is
I'm
that what?
Oh my God,
he's
a journalist. Oh my flashback,
reincarnated Tiffany.
Yeah. Did Tiffany give you that line and say you had to say it once? You had to say this once.
You learned that in J school. You don't. Yeah. You're not a fan of the
J
team.
School.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Speaking of which, do you have a do you have a TV voice? Tiffany's definitely got a TV voice.
No,
she
I don't
swears
think so.
She doesn't.
Where'd you go?
Rowan University.
Rowan?
Yeah.
Fighting profs.
The fighting what?
They're just profs. It's a little owl
prof?
With a professor hat.
No.
Yes.
No. Okay. I might have to cook you later on that. You might need a wake up call.
What's your mascot's name there?
The prof.
No, I know that. I know that, but like Kennesaw State, we're the owls,
Hootie.
And we got Scrappy. Scrappy's
we're the profs.
Ours.
We're the profs. He's an owl, too.
Yeah.
All right.
But ours is more educated, I guess, because it has the hat.
Hell, ours will fight you. He's Scrappy.
Here's what you got for the AP top 25. Here's the top 10. Georgia number one. I don't think anybody's arguing with that at this point, right? Georgia's number one. Ohio State number two.
Well, Ohio State fans are, but. Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know how you're arguing with that. Ohio State has spent a lot of money this offseason getting it all hooked up. Oregon at three. I'm not so sure. And I know that Oregon has remade that program. They're a lot nastier in the trenches than they've probably ever been. I love Dan Lanning. I'm just not sure that they kind of fit at three, dude. I'm having a little bit of struggle with that. Texas Longhorns at four. Alabama Crimson Tide at five. Ole Miss at six.
So I would put Texas ahead of Oregon because, for one, I think Quinn Ewers returning is a bigger deal than Dylan Gabriel going to Oregon.
I completely agree with that.
And I also think that now the problem is Texas plays a tougher schedule. Much tougher.
I want to ask you all this because it's obviously a very personal question to me. But let's get through the rest of the top 10. Ole Miss does not belong at six. Ole Miss, the teams they played that were good last year, it just didn't happen for them. And I understand that, look, they've got a lot of upside. They've brought in a lot of players in the trenches through the transfer portal. No thanks. Notre Dame at seven. No thanks. They don't fit there. Penn State at eight, okay. Michigan drops all the way to nine. I think it's one of the lowest rankings. And then Florida State at 10.
I don't think Florida State belongs. I think Florida State is way overranked.
That's a completely different team than it was last year.
That's it. You are 100% correct. And, you know, I won't say that very often, so don't cut that.
Yeah, I did.
But that's why I don't know how you can say they're the 10th best team when everything they lost. We saw the team. A lot of the players that they're going to field this year played Georgia last year in a bowl game, and that didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
I'm just still shocked that Oregon's in the Big Ten. I think that's throwing me
off.
It's
weird. It is weird. And I think a lot of their ranking right now has probably a lot to do with schedule. But I look at Oregon, and I think I'm not going to include Bama in this because I am a Bammer, right? I'll admit that I'm a Bammer, and I see things through crimson glasses a lot of times. But I look at Alabama, and I wonder what Oregon does that's that much better than anything Alabama does. And I realize Nick Saban is not there, but you brought in a head coach that beat Oregon twice last year. So I kind of struggle with that just a little bit.
I've got like 13 things they do.
Okay, go ahead.
All Idaho,
position rankings.
Boise State,
yeah, that's
Oregon State,
that's what
UCLA.
I
Michigan State. Oh, Ohio State. There's a tough one. Oh, back to Purdue, Illinois, Michigan maybe, Maryland, Wisconsin, Washington. That schedule, they got four games that could be close. The rest of them, they should dog walk people.
Is that a book? I didn't know.
Yeah, that's the old Phil Still. That's our friend Phil.
Phil Still, college football Bible.
Interesting. Okay. I know that the AP polls are very important, I just have such a hard time before we actually see them play.
Yeah.
Like, I just have a hard time with it.
What would we talk about?
Hey, hold on. Do you believe that we should not release a poll at all, any kind of rankings, until like maybe week six, five, six?
Kind of.
But here's the problem.
I agree with you.
Somebody's going to do it. It might as well be the AP.
This is all hypothetical.
If the AP goes away and the coaches go away, then guess what?
They look good on paper.
We'd have a morning shift top 25. The minute that happened, we'd have a morning shift top 25. And we would be talking about all the same.
Yeah, but nobody's going
to
care about
it. It gives us something to talk about. I love that.
Yeah, the one that matters is the college football playoff, and they don't do it until way into the season.
No one, ESPN or CBS or NBC or whoever you watch for college football ain't taking Squidbillies top 10 and putting the numbers beside them when they play on TV and then altering everyone's thought process on how good those teams are.
Yeah. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. 404-726-0929. I got a couple of questions for you. First of all, could Tyreek Hill beat Noah Lyles in football pads? If he was in a football uniform and he were running on turf, could Tyreek Hill beat Noah Lyles? And the second one is, who in the top 10, the AP top 10, does not belong? Who are the imposters right now in the AP top 10 or the top 25? It's the wake-up call. Coming up on the other side of the break, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.